الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قل هو الله أحد. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: من قال لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah jalla majdahu for making us of the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this platform we have been discussing about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His qualities. As Muslims we believe Allah ta'ala has got numerous qualities and attributes, and via the qualities and attributes we come to realize and recognize who Allah Ta'ala is. Unfortunately, that we are born Muslims in most cases, and even if we accept Islam, in most cases we do not know the qualities of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We do not know the attributes of Allah Ta'ala. We do not know, sadly enough, that I as a Muslim, what I have to believe about Allah and His numerous attributes. Some of us, alhamdulillah, we are regularly reading the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 99 names of Allah. The 99 names are actually the attributes of Allah. And it is stated that whilst you are reading those names, then you should say Jalla Jalalahu. After every name, you should say Jalla Jalalahu, and after reading all the names of Allah, dua is accepted. Many people read the 99 attributes of Allah daily. It's good to do it. But if you read after every name, Jalla Jalalahu, then inshallah dua made after that, ulama ikram have stated that dua is generally accepted. We have discussed, alhamdulillah, various attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and today we proceed, we go ahead. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows everything, and His knowledge is infinite. That means His knowledge has got no limits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knew everything before the creation of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect, Allah's knowledge is complete, and there is no flaw in Allah's knowledge. There is a group that says that MashaAllah, Allah ta'ala protect us, that Allah comes to know certain times of an event and then He forgets that it's supposed to be like this and it turned out like that. They call that theory the theory of bada'ah, that Allah comes to know. According to us, the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaat, if you attribute forgetfulness to Allah Ta'ala, you will go out of the fold of Islam. Because Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's knowledge is complete, Allah's knowledge is perfect, and Allah's knowledge, there is no question of any flaw or defect in it. Now, this knowledge of Allah Ta'ala leads us to another discussion of Taqdeer. Taqdeer actually means, according to the dictionary, to measure or estimate. Now, many people unfortunately get confused with the law of Taqdeer, and many do not understand fully how to get grips with Taqdeer. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith stated, towards the latter part of time, people will deny Taqdeer. And unfortunately, you hear from certain groups, they say, no, Taqdeer you cannot understand. One, they say that. Second, they say, anything that everything happens, no, this is because of Taqdeer. So they begin to blame Taqdeer. Oh, they say, no, well, this cannot be like that, and I cannot be a person believing totally in Taqdeer. And then how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not give me freedom of choice? As stated to you previously, to refresh your memory, that once a person came to Hazrat Ali karamallahu wajhu and asked him to explain Taqdeer. During that time, there were two groups. One group called Jabariya and one group called Qadariya. Now, Jabariya, they held a view that man has got no control over everything. Man is like a puppet on a string on the surface of the earth. Allah Ta'ala is doing everything and man is just being pushed around, pulled around. Whatever man is doing, he got absolutely no control. And diametrically opposite to them was a group called Qadariya. Qadariya believed that they got total control over everything. So one group said no control of everything, and one group said total control of everything. So the person came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and asked, how much control we have got? I know. Can you explain to me Taqdeer? So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala told him to stand up. The person stood up. Then he told him, pick your leg up. So the person picked the leg up. Then he told him, right, pick your other leg up. He said, I cannot pick my other leg up. He said, this is Taqdeer. You got certain control of certain things, and other things you got no control of. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left you completely alone, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made you majboor, meaning that you are not a puppet on a string. You are somewhere in between. That is why Allah Jalla Majdahu in Quran Kareem states, لَيْسَ الْإِنسَانَ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. That man, one translation of ayat is that you will not get except what you strive for. Another translation, simpler one, that you will get what you strive for. You will get for what you strive for, you will get. So that is the rule. What you work hard for, what you strive for, then inshallah you will get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it. Now, respected elders, one is the knowledge of Allah. See, the supreme knowledge of Allah and the ultimate knowledge of Allah. Now, because Allah knew and because Allah knows what man is going to do, this does not make man forced to do what he is doing. Understand, this is the point where we're getting confused. See, Allah knows you will come for Jummah Salah. And Allah knows that you, inshallah, will be hearing a talk. And Allah knows what you have done before this. And Allah knows what you will do after this. But because Allah knows, it does not mean Allah is forcing you to do this. It is in His infinite knowledge that He knows everything. But He is not forcing you to do it. So we are getting confused. As simple men, that we are getting confused that one side is Allah's knowledge and one side is our action. Now we think, no, Allah Ta'ala, everything now, whatever I do, oh no, it's a taqdeer. Giving the impression I'm forced to do it. We are not forced to do anything. The paths are open to us. The path of good is open, the path of evil is open. And we are given power of choice. What I must do, take this path or that path. If there is on the road, if there is a hole, and you put your foot inside and break it, and you saw that hole, you cannot, after putting your foot inside and breaking your foot, and say, no, this is taqdeer. That's not taqdeer, that's stupidity on your part. Because you can see the hole, why you put your foot inside there? You can see someone is out there to thug you, to rob you, to steal from you, and you give him the opportunity to do so. That's foolishness. Another aspect why we have difficulty in understanding taqdeer, because taqdeer is not an issue that took place in the world. Taqdeer is something with the knowledge of Allah, and this knowledge of Allah has been written out when, for example, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Mi'raj. When he went for Mi'raj, after Sidratul Muntaha, then he was hearing the sounds of pain. He inquired, what is happening? So this is the taqdeer of man been written. Now it is the belief of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, as far as our taqdeer is concerned, that the pen has been lifted, the ink has dried. The pen has been lifted, the ink has dried. Now that is the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala knows exactly what has happened, what is going to happen. And Allah's pen, the malaika which are writing, they have written. They have lifted the pen, the ink has dried, but this whole activity is not saying that we are forced to do what we are doing. No, it is just that our taqdeer has been written, so it's called preempted knowledge. Now why we cannot understand it? Because the knowledge that has been written has taken place in a different sphere. And we are living in a different sphere. See, there is alam al-dunya. Before that, alam al-arwa. Alam al-arwa. Alam al-dunya. Alam al-barzakh. Then alam al-akhirat. For jannat, jahannam. In between jannat, jahannam, araf. Then alam al-mifad. Alam al-arwa. Where our souls were. And we came from there. And we came from Alam-e-Arwa to our mother's wombs. From there we came to this dunya. And from here we are going to Alam-e-Barzakh, the realm of the grave. And after that, on the after day of judgment, resurrection, then either Jannat or Jahannam. Remember, Muslim can also go to Jahannam for purging. In between Jannat and Jahannam, there is a buffer zone. It's called Araf. Between Jannat and Jahannam, and there are many people who go there. Those whose balance, scale balances are breaking even go there. A lot of other people go there. They are made to see Jannat and Jahannam. And eventually they will choose Jannah. Then Araf would be destroyed. After that, remember, you either go to Jannah or Jahannam. But there is another alam, it's called alam e misal. Alam e misal is a realm of similitudes. Realm of similitudes. Now, respected elders, with the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nothing can change tabdeer but dua. The hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that nothing can change tabdeer but dua. But what we know, what I have been explaining, that the pen has been lifted and the ink has dried. Now this hadith, what is talking about? Respected elders, this hadith is talking about alam e misal, the realm of the similitudes. Now the realm of the similitudes is such a sphere, I'll try to explain it to you. You see, you have a mirror. Now, when you look at that mirror, you stand in front of that mirror, are you inside the mirror or are you outside the mirror? If you ask a person, see, here's your reflection in the mirror, here's your image in the mirror, there you are in the mirror. If you ask a little child, see, there you are in the mirror. Now, are you in the mirror or are you outside the mirror? From one angle, you are in the mirror. From one angle, the reality angle, you are out of this. But your reflection, your image is cast inside. The realm of similitudes is like that. It's there, but not there. It is there, but in reality it is not there. Respected elders, everything that takes place on the surface of the earth, understand this. What I think Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in Hujjatullah Al-Baligha, Imam Razi has written in Tafsir Al-Kabir, and Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has also written, that everything that takes place on this dunya has taken place in that world first. Has taken place there. And then that image and that impression and that reflection is cast upon us and we do it. So that is like the rehearsal stage. Alam al-Misal, the realm of similitudes, that is the rehearsal stage. It is rehearsed there and then it's played out here. Now when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about that nothing can change tabdeer besides dua, he's talking to rehearsal stage. What has happened in rehearsal stage, that can be changed. And you know that when all these actors and this drama, they do rehearsals before they come in for main performance. That is, everybody knows that. You have rehearsal, then you have main performance. So, what is main performance compared to rehearsal, there is differences. They will rehearse, and they will finalize it, and they will bring it to main performance. So, alam e misal is rehearsal stage. Then in rehearsal stage, dua is attached to it. And dua will change rehearsal stage and bring it to final stage, dunya. Dunya, what has happened in dunya, the pen has been lifted, the ink has dried. In dunya, not in realm stage, not in rehearsal stage. So that is why we are saying that this alam e misal, understand it very carefully. Because in the night of Mi'raj, you know what happened in the night of Mi'raj, how Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, where he went. But have you ever thought of something? One question has ever come in your mind, that when you have been informed about Mi'raj, then the ulama tell us, and they'll bring ahadith to us, and they'll say, see, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannat was like this, the Jahannam was like this, and when he went, he saw this. Have you ever thought that by the narrations, does he leave a possibility that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa went to Jannah and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa went to Jahannam? How can that be possible? Have you ever thought of that? How can it be possible for beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa to go to Jahannam? Good Muslim not supposed to go to Jahannam. How can Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa be sent to Jahannam? No, the answer is here. That Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being showed the realm of similitude. He's been showed a mirror. He's been showed this mirror, and in this mirror is the realm of similitude. So, fi nafsihi, he himself is not going into Jannat. He himself is not going into Jahannam. He is seeing this image cast. He is seeing this mirror, and he is narrating what he is seeing. Now, it's very easy to understand this stuff, that the beloved Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he himself is not going to Jahannam to narrate what's happening there. He's been shown it now. Easy for us to understand how you see it on television. He's been shown this thing on the big screen, and he is narrating it to the public when he comes back. This is what I saw. And is it strange? It's not strange. Why? Remember when he came back to Makkatul Mukarramah, then the people told him, you say you went to Baytul Muqaddas. He said, yes, I went to Baytul Muqaddas. Then they asked him a lot of questions. How many doors there? How many windows there? How many chandeliers there? And they asked him description of the masjid. Now when you go to a masjid first time, you don't count all these things. Everybody says that when the mushriks and when the enemies of Islam began to question him, then Allah Ta'ala brought the whole Masjid al-Nabawi, the whole of Masjid al-Aqsa in front of him, and he was looking at it. Yes, now what is he looking at? Simply speaking, he is looking at closed circuit television. And he has been looking at it, and he is telling them how many chandeliers, how many doors, how many windows. Whatever they were asking him, the camera was focusing there. It was being shown to him, and he was replying it. Again, what is that? That a realm of similitude was brought in front of him. So what is this? This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not forcing us to do things. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving the message of Islam. You get Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepting the message. One time he accepts it. On the other hand, you get Abu Jahl. Respected elders, Abu Jahl was that person who saw the fire. Physically he saw the fire, but he refused to accept. Hadith in Tirmidhi is very clear that Abu Jahl should go with stones and rocks to throw upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Trenches of fire should come in between him and beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the heat of the fire Abu Jahl could feel, he should leave the rock and run. But he never bring Iman. He never bring Iman. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was informed that beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj, and they told him mockingly, your friend says he went to Baytul Muqaddas and from there he went and met Allah Ta'ala. What do you say about it? He said, I believe it. This is different. Message is the same. Message for Tawheed, message for to Allah, same. But once you get Abu Jahl on one side, destined for Jahannam, and you get Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu going towards, rushingly towards Jannat. Same thing, respected elders. Allah's Nabi Musa alayhi salam is talking to Fir'aun, and Fir'aun only wants to bring Iman when the water is now drowning him. Too late then. Respected elders, now this tabdeer, why we have difficulty to understand it? Because we are talking on different levels. We are sitting on the earth trying to understand what happens in the spheres above us, the akhirah. How do I understand something? I told you that alam-e-arwah, alam-e-dunya, alam-e-barzakh, alam-e-akhirah, alam-e-misal, all these alams are in existence and they are functioning concurrently. They are functioning simultaneously. Alam-e-Ara has not ceased to exist. Still there are souls there to be released to come to dunya. Alam-e-Dunya, you and I, we can see it existing. Alam-e-Barzakh, the punishment and the pleasures, the comforts and the discomforts, they are happening now. Jannat and Jahannam doesn't mean, you see this word akhirat, we wrongly translate it as hereafter. So you get the impression that this is still to come, hereafter. No. It is running now. Jannat is present. Jahannam is present. Araf is present. All are moving, functioning, rotating. They are in existence as you and I speak. They are in existence. Yes. According to Surah Rahman, everything will be destroyed and reconstructed. Now, there are certain scholars, they say Taqdeer is very difficult to understand and we should not try to understand it. Why? Because it is La Yanhal. It's a thing that you cannot really understand. And our brains cannot grasp it. And the reason they give is very logical. For example, if I have to tell you that, let's say I've got 11 camels and I've got 5 pegs. 11 is odd number. And I tell you, see these 5 pegs, you divide these 11 equally in those 5 pegs. You cannot do it. Because one is an odd figure and the other one is an even. And you cannot have an even coming out. You divide an even by an odd, you get an odd. You cannot divide an odd by an even and get an even. It's impossible. Similarly, if I have to tell you where you are doing, where you get an even as a number, when you divide even by even, you get even. So, respected elders, similarly, if I have to tell you, add 1 pound to 1 kilogram, it will be difficult for you to do it. Unless you bring everything to one denomination, bring everything to pounds, everything to kilograms, it's very easy to work out. If I have to tell you that, listen, you add $1 plus 1 pound plus 1 yen plus 1 euro plus 1 franc, it's very difficult to do it. Why? Because you have different denominations. When you bring everything to one denomination, then it is easy to function, it is easy to understand, it is easy to add, subtract. Now this law of Taqdeer, why it is difficult for you and I to understand? Because we are sitting in the dunya and we try to understand what happened in the akhirah. So that is why we are not on the same level. If you are on the same level, then it's easy to understand. If you come on the same platform, on the same page, then you can easily understand and you can discuss it. What time I go, you know? Huh? 1 more minute. Okay. What we will do, then I also want to discuss to you, that see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks. Allah ta'ala speaks. How He speaks. And this quality of Allah ta'ala, He's speaking. This quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it created or uncreated? Quran al-Kareem, what of it is created, what of it is uncreated? And upon this, the Imams of jurisprudence, they had to undergo literal harassment and illegal punishment from the oppressors of the time, respected elders, because they held the view that Allah's Quran is uncreated. It is not created. Respected elders, because this is a masala dealing with the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks, how He speaks? Respected elders, simple things But we as Muslims will have to learn and understand our deen. Then also understand something. Allah Ta'ala is all powerful. Allah Ta'ala does not require us. Allah Ta'ala can take all the Muslims and put them in Jahannam. And no one can question it. Every one of us, inshallah, will go to Jannah. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala's promise is that. And Allah Ta'ala does not dishonor His promise. He has promised we'll go to Jannah, we'll go to Jannah. But Allah has got full control. That's why He's Allah. He can take everybody and put everybody into Jahannam. No one can question Him. He's all powerful, beyond question. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability to understand the wa'akhir da'wah. Alhamdulillah.